you please. Romans chapter 3. Again, as we get into Romans chapter 3, as I do this sermon, again, as we look at the things that are there, again, this is the crux of the gospel, folks. This is it. I don't know that I'm going to teach you anything this morning that you don't already know. But I'll tell you what, this is the great truth that we need to know. If anybody would ask me what's Romans chapter 3 about, the first thing that I would say, the news about Romans 3 is all bad. Okay? It's all bad. When you start in the Romans chapter 3, Paul is taking time to show the people that he's writing to, you're not as good as you think you are. And once he's convinced people that we're not as good as we think we are, then he's going to give us the good news. The good news. And really, the sermon this morning is more about good news than it is bad news. Nate, I'm not sure if I transitioned these right. I'll give you something to do while I'm speaking, okay? But again, I don't want to just come up here. And we were saying this morning that in Sunday school that we're studying the Pilgrim's Progress, and the man who wrote it, John Bunyan, when he first became a preacher, most of his sermons were about the sinfulness of man. Then all of a sudden he ran into a great Bible doctrine called grace. It changed his preaching. He stopped preaching so much about the sinfulness of man, though it's true, and started preaching the sinfulness of man, and then through his sermons he started preaching what? Grace. Grace. Folks, we're all sinners. And so again, I want to make sure that we see grace this morning as never been before, and that's why we are absolutely free. I thank Ken for reading the verses that he read. We are going to preach on more than just those. I think, again, if I do this, I think they're right there. Again, we're going to go a little further than he did, but again, we want to preach on what Jesus Christ has done for us. Father, I pray you might be with us as we look at great truths. Maybe nothing here will be said that's not already known, or Lord, maybe we've forgotten some things, or just, Lord, we need to have our memory tweaked a little bit here on some great doctrines that show up here in Romans chapter 3. But Lord, that we would go out rejoicing this morning that we are free. And Lord, that which did enslave us and would take care or would hurt us for our future, Lord, you've taken care of it by dying on the cross for us. Teach us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, as you go into Romans chapter 3, and I did not go into these verses, it just talks about how sinful we are. From our feet to our mouths to our hands to our minds, everything about us, again, is sinful. But again, I just wanted to put up here that we were ruined, okay? Notice I underlined the word what? Were. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, these are things to rejoice that we've been delivered from. We were ruined by sin. And again, what I want to show you is verse 19, what the law can do. What the law does. Verse 19, now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Again, I like how he starts that out. Now we know, okay? That's another way of saying obvious to all of us, very obvious to all of us, is the fact that we are sinners. And the law was given so that we as sinners will stop making excuses. Do you see the words in verse 19, that every mouth may be stopped? I think what it was is Paul was maybe preaching the gospel. Maybe as Paul was talking to people, maybe people were trying to give excuses. Maybe they were coming out of bodies. Maybe they were making just statements. Well, I'm not as bad as you say I am. I'm not that terrible. I don't think my condition's as ruined as you think it is. And he said, let's look to the law. What's the Bible say? What are God's requirements? What does God need from every one of us to get into heaven? And sure enough, as we look at the law, we find out that what? We're ruined. Again, what the law can do, it can show us that we are sinners. And as we look into the law, we need to stop trying to make excuses. We need to stop trying to think we're better than we are. And we need to really know that we are guilty before God. Absolutely just guilty. Okay? That way. This is what I think the law does. Okay? The law is what I like to use, the mirror. It's the mirror. It reveals to you what's really going on. Okay? Does everybody have that? Now, I don't know. Somebody may walk up to you and say something about, you know, you got some dirt on your face. And you may be able to say what? No, I don't. No, I don't. Well, no, there's something all over your face right there. No, there's not. Okay. You can make excuses and say, I don't think so. I think I know you. You're just kidding with me. But sure enough, walk to the mirror. Mirrors don't lie. Okay. You have a regular mirror, they don't lie. All of a sudden you walk in front of the mirror and all of a sudden you say what? I got dirt on my face. The law shows us we are guilty before God. But now watch this as I put the next part on here, what the law can't do. Okay? That mirror that shows us our dirt doesn't clean us. I don't know about you. I've never done this, okay? I've never walked up to a mirror, seen imperfections on my face with dirt or something like that, and leaned into the mirror and tried to rub it off with the mirror. I've never done that. Okay? Now you might say, well, Pastor, I do that all the time. I don't think you do, okay? You don't take the mirror off the stand and say, oh, I've got some dirt there, I'll use the mirror to get it off. All right? The mirror shows us the dirt. It doesn't what? Clean it off. And yet how many people somehow in this world got this crazy idea that when the law shows us we're sinners, we clean ourselves up by using the law. And we're, if I'm just good, if I can just be good, then God will accept me into heaven. Folks, the mirror shows the dirt. The mirror doesn't clean the dirt. Right? The law shows us we're sinners. It can't fix us from our sin. Does everybody understand that? And that's what we have here. Again, as you come into verse 20, notice, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. No, by the law is the knowledge of sin. See, again, you don't get cleaned up by rubbing your face against the mirror. I've said that. You know that. You don't get cleaned up by trying to keep the law which showed you you're a sinner. You can't keep it anyway. And by the way, how is it that spiritual laws or spiritual principles don't even work down here on earth? Okay? They don't. I don't know about you, but I tell people, you know, if you're going to speed, the two weekends you don't do it on is Memorial Day weekend and 4th of July weekend. Okay? Don't do it. Don't do it. Okay? Again, my little jaunt that I made up to State College yesterday. I mean, there were police everywhere. Okay? I get on there at Bellefonte, exit 83, and I get off at what I call the hospital exit, the Penn State exit. You know, that's the main exit to get off to go to Penn State. Folks, I mean, I no sooner came up on the ramp to get on the Route 99, and there was a policeman sitting right there. He's just sitting right there. Okay? I no sooner went a quarter of a mile, policeman had somebody pulled over there. Okay? But they say, well, once they see this guy back here, they know they can speed. The next mound we went over, which is where basically you can get off to go up into Pleasant Gap there, what's that, exit 81 or whatever, they had a policeman sitting behind that man. I mean, these two policemen, they were within a half a mile of each other. I mean, we come around the bend, come under Harrison Road, there's a guy back. You know what? Everybody knows where they sit. If you don't, pay attention, okay? Okay? You pay attention. You look back up the exit. There's a guy shooting radar up on back the exit. I'm like, wow, you know, they're just everywhere. Came down, I saw another one, and then as I got off the hospital exit, do y'all know it goes to 35 miles an hour? And I'm just like, you know what, I am knocking this thing down. Sure enough, come up over there, start down there, there's white lines on the road or whatever you look, there's one of those big pillars, I see a bumper sticking out of the pillar, you know? And I think I was like at 36 or 37 or something like that. I'm like, wow, they are everywhere. Now, folks, I know where I am in this illustration. If any one of those guys would have gotten me for speeding and pulled me over and said, Mr. Goball, you are speeding, I'm going to have to fine you. And I'd say, I promise I will never speed again. Will he let me off? No. It doesn't work. Now, for me, it doesn't, okay? Not going to let me off. And yet, somehow we have this idea when we break God's law, if we seem to think, you know, we're not going to speed as much in the future, that he's going to say, okay, then you're not guilty. I'll take it off your account. It doesn't work here on earth. It doesn't work with God. Once you've broken the law, you are guilty. Keeping the law from this day forward doesn't work. Now, again, if any of you had the possibility from this day forward to the day you die never to sin again, and not one of you has that ability. Most of us aren't going to make it to bed tonight without doing it. Am I right about that? But if you could make it from here to the last breath you take and not sin again, do you know how much that counted for getting rid of your sins that you committed in the past? Not 1 ounce. Not 1 ounce. So again, as you look here, what the law can't do, the law can't clean us up. So here's the great truth. Who's going to set us free from this debt of sin that we've accumulated all our lives? We see how the debt is. We've looked in the mirror. We know that we're sinners. The law has convicted us. What are we going to do? Again, you know what? We need to be redeemed. Notice I put you were ruined. We were ruined, but now we are redeemed. Again, present tense. We can be redeemed. Here's something that I think you should look at. This is nice. If you like marking your Bible, please do so. You'll like this. Verse 19 says, now. Now. You know, what's better than now? Verse 20, okay? Excuse me. Notice verse 20 then. Excuse me, verse 21. I messed that up. Verse 21. But now. You know, sometimes the little word B-U-T is the greatest word in the Bible sometimes. But now. Now we're sinners. The law shows us we're guilty before God. We have no excuse. We have no alibis. But now. But now, if you'll notice verse 21, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Again, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, what Paul is saying is to these people, this is not new news. If you go back and study the Old Testament, Moses, go back to Abraham, go back to David, go back to these people and ask them, hey, do you get to heaven by being good? They'd all say what? No. You get to heaven by trusting God. I mean, Genesis 15:6, Abraham. And Abraham believed God. And it was counted unto him as righteousness. So what Paul is trying to show is this is not new news. This is not something that was witnessed. You know what? We are not saved by the law. We are given the righteousness of God, and it comes apart from the law. So again, we get it by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't come by being good. Notice verse 21 to 23. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I think this is how it works. Folks, this is how you universally get saved. Everybody is by faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter who you are. Now, some people might say, well, I'm really not that bad. Really? You're a sinner and you've come short of the glory of God. You need saved by the faith of Jesus Christ. But you know what I run into other times? People say something like this, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the horrible things that I've done. Just putting my faith in Jesus Christ is all it takes? And the answer is, that's it. Just faith in Jesus Christ, that's it. Just like the person that you think's better than you, that's all you have to do. For there's no difference. Because all of sin that comes short of the glory of God. I've used the illustration, I use it more at sermons than I use it here in church or whatever. Folks, some of us may be better in human estimation than others are. Doesn't make any difference. I've used the illustration many times of when we lived out at Romola, and I don't know if they do it anymore, but back in the olden days, everybody likes the old days. Shorty Richner used to come in and dig graves the day before a funeral, okay? I don't know if they're allowed to do that anymore because at nighttime there was just a big hole in the ground, okay? And you know, somewhere along the line, somebody made a law, you can't dig a hole and leave it open through the night. Did anybody do that yet? I don't know. But it would be open. And, of course, most of you know when we lived out there, our children were really small, and we never did this. But what if I said to Curtis, let's have a jumping contest and see who can jump that hole, okay? Now, he's just little. I mean, we moved out there, he was 2, and we moved away, he wasn't real big, okay? I said, let's jump that thing. And so he starts to walk back, and I go, oh, no, we're not jumping the short way, son. We're jumping the long way. Now, I tell people out there at Marsh Creek, and it's a creek, out at Marsh Creek, when you dug graves, you had creek mud, okay? It's not like what I have at my house. Where I live on a clay pile. And when you dig a hole, you can dig the squarest, roundest, most beautiful hole you ever saw. It's just clay, and you can just go straight down through it and make a beautiful-looking hole. Creek mud, you dig, it rolls in. You dig, it rolls in. You dig, it rolls in. So when Shorty would dig those holes, by the time he was done, it wasn't 2x8 or 2x6 or whatever you think it is or whatever. That mud would roll in, that creek mud would roll in or whatever. He'd keep getting it out or whatever. And by the time he was done, that thing was deep and wide. Is everybody with me on that? And I'd say to the son, we're jumping the long way. All right, he gets back, he runs with those little legs, he hits the end of that grave, and he jumps, and he gets about 3 or 4 feet. Where is he, folks? He's in the bottom. And I'm laughing at him. And so I get back, and I take a run. And sure enough, I run. I hit the edge of that there, and the creek mud does what it always does. It gives way as I place my foot on there to plant. And I jump. And, folks, I jump about twice as far as he does. I mean, I am that much better than he is. I am twice as good. I jump way further than he does. Well, folks, in order to make the hole, it's about 15 feet out there by the time the creek mud all rolled in, and I jump about 8. Where are we? There is no difference. There's no difference. We're both in the same hole at the same place pretty much, are we not? And we're in trouble. Because creek mud, you just don't climb out of it. Because as you place your hands and feet, what's it do? Rolls back in. We're in trouble. We need somebody else to get us out. But I'm twice as good as he is at jumping. And you might say, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. There is no difference. For all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. We now have to find righteousness from somebody else than ourselves. Okay? It doesn't come by good works or being good. You know that. It doesn't. Not at all. Okay? And there's no difference between what you've done and somebody else has done. We've all come far short of the glory of God. You know what? Now you have to believe in Jesus. That's the only answer. You have to find it in somebody outside of yourself. And the only person who's qualified is Jesus. By the way, it can't be another individual. You can't look to a church leader. You can't look to somebody else to bail you out of this ditch you're in, because there's no difference for what? All have sinned and come short. You can't ask another person who's come short to get you out. You have to find somebody who's absolutely perfect, that only one is Jesus Christ. So again, we're redeemed, and we're redeemed by faith in Jesus Christ. There's no difference. Doesn't matter if you think you're a good sinner or a bad sinner. It's faith in Jesus Christ. From there, that's where freedom comes. You put your faith in Jesus Christ, that's where you find freedom. Freedom from your sin. Freedom from everything that was wrong and bad about you. It comes there. And as we look at these verses, look at verse 24 with me. There's two great themes that show up. Notice, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Again, there are two great words in that verse, justification and redemption. I tell people this. I don't need dictionary definitions. I don't need theology book definitions. I need definitions that I can remember and they work. Is anybody with me on that? I guess if I was taking my theology course in grad school or whatever, and Dr. Bell would say, what's justification? I'd have to have this memorized, you know, systematic theology definition to get past the question. And you know what? It doesn't do you a whole lot of good to quote words you don't know what they mean. Is anybody with me on that? I tell people, take a hammer and break it down so somebody like me can understand it. Justification. This is what, if somebody say to me, what is justification? Just look at the word, and this is the one I run with, but I'll give you others also or whatever. Notice justification. Do you see the word just? What's the next word? If. What's the next word? I. Start it like this. Just if I never sinned. Just if I never sinned. Again, as we put justification out there, again, it's when God declares one to be not guilty. Not guilty. You know what? If you get to heaven before me, strike up a conversation with Jesus or God about me. And you know what? He can't talk to you about my sins. You know, you might get up there and say, hey, give me the lowdown on Pastor Gilbaugh. I really want to know, what's he really like? I mean, tell me what's going on with him. And Jesus is going to talk about me just if I never sinned. Isn't that amazing? Now, I'm going to make it a little happier than you talking to me about me to God. Go up and talk to God about you. Oh, God. And he's going to go, what's the problem? Well, I'm so sorry for all... What? What'd you do? What are you talking about? Because he's going to treat you just if... Now, I got to put another letter in there. You never sin. To declare one not guilty. That's what justification is. Okay? Again, even to be a little bit different, if you want to go more on the positive side, not only does he declare us that we're not guilty, he declares us to be righteous. Like, give me the lowdown on that Pastor Gilbaugh down there. Wow, he is one righteous dude. Him? Really? Not him. Oh, yeah, him. How? Do you have the answer? Not me. Jesus Christ. Justification. Just if I never sinned. I'm declared not guilty, and I am declared to be righteous. Now, again, if there was a book with my name on it, if there was a computer account or file with my name on it, if there was anything with my name on it, when you go to it up in heaven, it is absolutely blank of any sins that I've ever committed. Now that my file is cleared, what's the next thing that has to happen? Okay? The next thing that has to happen is redemption. To set at liberty after the payment of the ransom price. I mean, it's almost this way. I'm held in prison. I'm in jail. I'm in bonds because of my sin. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'm declared to be not guilty. I'm declared to be righteous. Then why am I in this prison, in jail, in bonds? Why? There's no sins against me. So what do you have to do? You got to come set me free. To set at liberty because the payment's been done. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer a prisoner in a jail. I'm no longer bound with what's going on. And so I've got to be set free. Again, the payment has been made. The payment's been made. I'm just going to put it in a summary if I can do that. I got some words here. Summary. When we receive Jesus as our Savior, God applies the price that Jesus paid on the cross to our account and declares us righteous. That's justification. Okay? Jesus paid it all. My account is clear. I am declared to be righteous. Now that I'm declared to be righteous, the summary continues, okay? He thereby frees us from the consequences of our sins. That's redemption. Isn't that absolutely amazing? If you're here today and your sins have never been justified, then you have never been redeemed, and you are still going to pay the consequences for your sins, which is eternity separated from God in the lake of fire. I'm free from that. Not that I did anything. Jesus Christ did it all. Two great themes, justification and redemption. Again, he literally sets us free. I no longer have to try to be good to get God to let me go to heaven. Isn't that a great thought? At the end of the day, after I mess up, I'm just as secure of going to heaven as I ever was. Because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ got me there. I don't have to be good to get God to let me into heaven. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, are you telling us we can go out and live how we want and all that? Holy Spirit doesn't teach that. God doesn't teach that. Okay? And you know that's not true. The grace of God that brings salvation, it teaches to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And you don't want to. But you know what? Just because I mess up doesn't mean I'm in trouble of losing my salvation. I am justified. I am redeemed. I am on my way to heaven. We've got freedom. Another thing that shows up here then as we go to the next couple of verses, forgiveness comes. Look at verses 25 and 26. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness, the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him who believeth in Jesus. If I could put it this way, two more great themes. I gave you justification. I gave you redemption. Two more big words are going to show up. I can hardly even say this one without keeping all the spit in my mouth, okay? Propitiation. And the other one is remission. Do you know what they are? Justification. Just if I never sin. Redemption. The price has been paid. I am set free. And now we're learning here about Jesus Christ and his great His great sacrifice for us. Propitiation means to appease or to be satisfied. That's literally what it means, okay? To be satisfied. Jesus Christ paid the price for my sins, and God is satisfied with it. If God was not satisfied, Easter would have never happened. Do you realize that? If somebody said, well, what's the significance of Easter? One of the greatest things is that Jesus Christ's sacrifice was accepted by God. It was satisfaction on the dollar. I mean, he paid for everything, and he rose from the dead to show that God was propitiated. Again, he was satisfied with what Jesus Christ came. Again, propitiation is to appease. It's there to satisfy. Again, when we trust Jesus, God requires nothing further from us. He is absolutely satisfied. Folks, this is hard doctrine for some people to digest. Because they think, in order for God to be satisfied, we got to live every day almost perfect in our Christianity. And I can't do that. Can you? Can you? I don't know, husbands and wives, you have a good morning this morning, getting the kids and all you guys ready for church and everything? Any problems between you? Did all right? You might say, no, we snapped at each other a little bit. Really? We all do. I don't think my wife and I even had children to get together. I think I snapped at her. You know? It's what we do. But God is satisfied. He's satisfied. It's been paid. Okay? And I don't want to go to bed every night, oh, I'm such a terrible person. I'm free. God's satisfied. He's been appeased with all that. Again, I kind of put this down. God's not appeased when we try to get to heaven on our own. You know? You know, if I stood up here and say, you know, folks, I know I'm going to heaven because I'm a pretty good guy. In fact, let me tell you how good I am. God up in heaven is not saying, oh, boy, I'm really satisfied with your answer. I mean, you really are really special there, Gilball. It doesn't do anything for him. It's Jesus Christ. And that's why he is satisfied. That's why he's satisfied. The next great word then is remission. Remission is to pass over. Okay? Literally, to pass over. You know what? I'm a sinner. I know it. You know it. And it doesn't bother God. Because Jesus Christ died for me, and my sins are forgiven, and God is satisfied, and I'm heading to heaven. I'm not preaching license to sin, and some people just can't get a hold of this great idea of grace. And they always preach, you got to live better and better and better and better. And that's why people get so depressed, because you can't. And we don't have to, because Jesus died for us and paid for all of it. And he just will pass over. Again, if I could use this word, what? Disregard. You know? It's okay. I'm still secure. I'm still going to heaven. Again, I put it this way. When we trusted Christ, God put our sins away. I was thinking about this time looking at all the verses in the Bible to tell you where our sins are. I'm not even going to do it. Folks, you just got to believe me. They're gone. Do you have verses like as far as the east is from the west? Do you have like deep in the buried sea? Behind us? They're gone. And I have remission. You know what? When God looks at my account and sees that it is clean, he doesn't say, I got to go find those things. I got to go find his sins. Because if he started looking for them, he can't find them. They're gone. He doesn't care about them. They're completely gone. Let me end this. I didn't teach you anything you didn't know. Maybe you might say, well, Pastor, you gave me a few big words and gave me definitions that I need to be reminded of. Okay? But I kind of look at it this way. If you go with me to the end, again, you'll find out that there's some different laws. I say, look at verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. I see two laws here. Do you see in verse 27 the law of works? Now, I'm going to tell you something here. And again, it depends on what you believe. But folks, if you can get to heaven by being good, then you can boast. Then you can boast. I kind of look at it this way, okay? What if, I don't know, who wants to be picked on this morning? I don't know. What if I look at one of you, okay? Okay, Tony, you smiled. Okay, what if I look at Tony, and Tony and I go to heaven, and I go to Tony and I go, hey, Tony, man, how'd you get here? And he goes, oh, let me tell you how I got here. I mean, I was really good. I mean, I was really good. I mean, I didn't miss church, and boy, I worked at church, and boy, I was a trustee. I was really, and God, when I walked up to heaven, they just threw the gates open for me and just wanted me to come in. And then I'd say, you think you were good? Listen how good I was. And after a while, somewhere under a pine tree on a picnic table, Tony and I are bragging back and forth trying to outdo each other about how good we are. Are you with me? You know, then all of a sudden, Brother Tim walks by. Oh, Tim, you're here? Really? Oh, let me tell you how I got here. Now watch. After a while, we got a whole mess of us sitting around a campfire talking about how good we are and how we got here. And Jesus, who died for us on the cross, is sitting over there what? Right? Folks, if it was by works, we'd sit around and boast. Okay? And it's this way. It's do it yourself. I underline the word do. Because another word's going to show up. Do you know the other word? Most religions in the world are do, do, do. When you put faith in Jesus Christ, what's the other word? Done. It's done. It's done. We don't have to do anymore. And if you could do it yourself, then boast. Tell people how good you are. But you know what? All the boasting that's ever going to take place for people who thought they could work themselves and get into heaven is going to take place in hell. Because they didn't make it. Because it's Jesus only. There is the law of faith. And the law of faith is basically, it's all done for you. Jesus paid it all on the cross. It's completely done. I didn't do any of it. Again, Tony and I pass each other in heaven. It's going to happen. We pass each other in heaven. I go, hey, Tony, how'd you get here? What's he going to say? I didn't do anything to get here. In fact, if it was up to me, I wouldn't be here. But Jesus did it all for me. It's all been done for me. And I said, boy, I got the same story to tell. I got the same story to tell. In fact, instead of sitting on the picnic table over here and boasting, let's go find Jesus. And let's praise his name for saving us. Let's go do that. And we're all going to gather around his throne and sing praise. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. There's no boasting under on a picnic table somewhere. It's all been done for us. Which ends with this verse, okay? Which ends with this verse that I just love. Therefore, oops, I thought I had verse 28. I guess I left it off. Therefore, we conclude, okay? I love this verse. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the works of the law. When I used to teach, okay, now don't burst my bubble, those of you that were my students, okay? Let me boast. I mean, I would come into the classroom with eloquent lectures, writing on the chalkboard. I mean, I would describe things real good. And I mean, I would just make American history, world history. I would just make government come alive to these kids. I mean, I was just a lecturing beyond belief. And after I was done lecturing beyond belief, one of the students would usually have their pen ready and say, can you put that all in one sentence? And I'm like, 45 minutes. Of wonderful lectures, illustrations, and you want it in one sentence. Are you with me? Paul just did that. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the works of the law. I tell people he could leave off Romans 1:1, all the way to Romans 3:27 if you get the conclusion. Everybody is justified by faith. No works of the law. Folks, you get to heaven by trusting in Jesus Christ, not by being good. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are absolutely free. Forgiveness. It all comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you might help us to realize that absolute forgiveness, remission of sins, Lord, redemption, justification only comes through Jesus. Lord, help us to stop trying to do. And Lord, help us just to relax that it's done. And the day, Lord, as a country that's free, we realize that we are citizens of another country and we really are free because Jesus Christ paid for all of our sins. Help us to rejoice in that and tell others that are trying to do.